Corey.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. I'm here today to talk to you, like you know, about listening. I was handed off to you, and I heard that you have a unique perspective on the whole thing.
Okay.
Well,
I hope so.
Yeah, well, you know. So in your job, and you work for REL.
R-E-L.
R-E-L.
Right.
Okay. By the way, is that the owner's initials? Or?
It actually is. Rod, Eric, and Larry
Got
are
it.
The original founders of the company. So.
Okay. You are?
My title is Client Development Consultant.
And your job is to go get new business?
In a nutshell, yeah. It's to build awareness in the community about who we are and what we do, and to drive new business through the door.
Okay.
And then also to manage that business once a new client has started working with us.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then you guys have a blog too, right?
Yes, we do.
But it's more like a company blog, not just an individual.
It is a company blog, yeah.
Right, so because I've noticed that all of you will contribute articles to that. So
yep.
Did that start with you or did that start before you?
You know, it actually started before me. The blog did itself. Mark True, who is our brand warrior, had his own blog. And it was called A Little Bit of Mark, I believe is what it was called at
okay.
the time. That's over a year ago now. And he was primarily, I think he did all the writing on that. But it was all tied to what we do, which is help clients tell their story. We're storytellers. About, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 months ago, we actually turned it into a company blog, the title of which is Stories by REL. Again, because the idea is to help our clients tell their story.
Sure. That's great then. So if you guys are storytellers, then I'm assuming that before you can tell the story, you have to hear the story.
Absolutely.
How do you do that?
Well, it starts, every client with us starts with what we call the brand discernment process. We use that word discernment a lot.
Okay.
And I think the word discernment, that word in itself, I think lends itself, I don't know how to describe this, but it sort of lends itself to that, what you're talking about listening.
Mm-hmm.
We have to give our clients an opportunity to tell their story. We have to listen to very specific details about their story and ask very important questions. We ask hard, difficult questions. We have to make our clients really think about what they're telling us. The idea ultimately is to create a story, but it's to help tell their story in a way that is what we call dirty. And DIRTY is an acronym for different, inviting, relevant, truthful, and yours. They have to own it. They have to believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of listening and a lot of deep listening, a lot of thinking, and a lot of difficult asking of questions.
So do you ever have clients come to you who are reluctant?
Yes, most of the time.
How do you deal with that?
Once our clients begin the process. Usually they come to us for one very specific reason, is because there's pain. They're stuck in one way or another, whether it be through they're just not driving enough revenue into their organization, which is typically, that's probably the most common problem. They're having growing pains. They're having a lot of turnover issues. Whatever it may be, it's usually an organization that is stuck and they're having trouble moving forward. When you start asking questions about who they are and what makes them different, inviting, relevant, most of those companies have a really, really tough time answering that question.
Is that because they're too close to it to see it? Or?
That's a pretty good analysis. I think so. Because we argue that there is something about every organization, just like every person, every human being, there's something that is different and inviting about them. Maybe they're afraid to express it. Maybe they haven't really taken the time to figure out what that is. It could be a number of different things. Maybe they started in doing business in a way that was different, inviting, and relevant, but through growth and through not staying on task, you know, it's very easy to start in one direction and follow opportunities, becoming very opportunistic in the way you do business. And pretty soon, you're doing things that you don't know how to do, that you don't want to be doing, that maybe it's not really your bread and butter, and you find your organization in an entirely different place from where you started.
You know, that's an interesting concept, the idea that opportunities could be misleading away from your true calling.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's absolutely true, though. Yeah.
It's true, and what happens is you're having a bad month, or you don't really have anything on the docket, and an opportunity is standing in front of you, and there's money involved.
Right. And we can keep the business afloat.
That's right. Let's just do this, and then we'll get back on track. Or I know this isn't who we are, what we do. We challenge our clients to, once they really understand what it is that makes their brand dirty, to use that to make their decisions. When you have an opportunity like that in front of you, does it match up with our brand? Is it who we are? You can use that for new business. You can use that when you're talking about hiring new employees. I think is a big, big part of your brand. I was in recruiting for many years, and I can't tell you how many companies are just desperate to fill seats, but they don't really take the time to make sure that somebody really matches not just a skill set, but from a personality set. Is this really a good fit for us?
Because every business is just the sum of its employees.
It really is.
Ultimately, right?
Ultimately,
so
it is.
If you bring in a bunch of people who are not a fit for your company's culture or mission.
Oh, yeah. But not even a bunch. It can happen with one person. If you have a small organization and you bring in the wrong individual, it can really cloud the water. If you understand who you are as an organization, what your DNA is, and the kind of people that make up that organization, then you can make certain decisions from a recruiting standpoint that will help attract the same kind of people. But if you're just opening up the doors and saying, hey, we need to fill some seats, well, you could get lucky and fill those seats with people that fit, but the odds aren't very good. And that's what creates turnover. Turnover is very expensive, and that leads you in a whole different road of problems and issues.
Sure. I'm thinking about this opportunities leading people astray from their mission. I think that's personally true, too, not just corporately true.
No question about it. In some sense, maybe a newer way of looking at things. I think that there was a time where really it was about just going and doing a good job and getting your paycheck, but now people, it seems to me, oftentimes need to be more connection to the type of work they do, some sort of passion, and I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think really people want meaningful work that will stretch them in the direction that they want to go.
Sure, and I think people ignore their passion a lot. It's very easy to do. You got to pay your bills, but you don't. You think that something is too far out of reach, and I think an organization can think that way too.
So we talked about whether or not sometimes your clients might be reluctant, or maybe they just might be ignorant, really, of where some of these things are. So how do you pull that out of them?
The brand discernment process that I keep talking about is led by Mark True,
Okay. Our
brand warrior. Mark has an uncanny ability to listen to what people are saying, and he has a way to decipher the truthfulness in that. You know, we take these organizations through, you know, really your typical SWOT analysis. We actually start with the aspiration. Where do you want to be? You know, where do you want to be when you grow up, kind of a thing. And then we go back to the beginning. Tell us about your history, what's worked, what hasn't worked, what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses. Take everybody through a SWOT analysis. And we just compile all of that information then. It can take a full day. Sometimes it can take a couple of days to get through this process. And then we begin to break that down. We put it into a document format. And what happens then is we begin to see some of the patterns and some of the things that, some of the decisions they've made. But typically what you really get out of that is their story. Okay, who are these guys and what makes them good at what they do? And we can begin to see things that make them different, that make them inviting, and that make them relevant. And once we've done that, then we can decipher where they need to focus their attention, depending on what they really want to aspire to. Once we've done that, we begin to design strategies that are going to help them get there. See, usually people start with the tactic. We need more people to know who we are, so let's advertise. And they go spend a bunch of money advertising. That's not necessarily, it may be a good decision, and it may not really, at that point you're guessing. What we identify from that brand discernment process are the critical issues. These are the two, three, or four things that are really prohibiting you from moving forward. This is why you're stuck. One, two, three, four. These are the critical issues. We take those critical issues and we build strategies around those critical issues, strategies to address the critical issues. Mm-hmm. From those strategies come certain tactics. Mm-hmm. Now we're down to the tactical level, which is maybe there's going to be some money put into advertising. But again, we're not guessing about that. We've figured out that that we need to reach an audience, but it's become very purposeful. We're not guessing.
So you started out as a video company, but you also do really business consulting.
The way we describe it sometimes is we look a little bit like an advertising agency, a little bit like a therapist office.
You know, just it all kind of mixed into one. Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Right.
I think what happened, they just got tired of being order takers and being, video and web producers. They had the video production going, and there was some opportunity to add some web development, so they did. There was some opportunity then to add some graphic design, so they did. Again, they were growing in a very opportunistic kind of a way, the way most companies do, without any real plan. And I think that really they just got tired of taking the orders. And I think that they really felt like they were doing a lot of this work without any kind of knowledge about what it was going to do for the client. Okay, we're going to make a lot of money off of it, but what does this do for them? How do you know you need a web page?
Right. Well, it's what they asked for, so we'll just do that.
Right.
It's too purposeful.
That's exactly it. And how do you know you need video? How do you know?
How is it that you find vendors, customers, people like that? How do you get in there and start talking to them about the company to get a better picture?
Well, you know, it's like this. It really is.
So do you go to the company and you say, can I have your vendor list? Who can I talk to? What do
no,
you do?
You know what? Every piece of business that I have brought in has been through a relationship that I've built outside of the organization. Every time. So it's through somebody I know. When I sit down and I start talking to people about their business, you know, we'll meet over coffee. And, hey, it's always just let's get to know each other. Let's get to know our businesses and see if there's any synergy there for whatever reason. We do not have a very typical sales model. It really is about just sharing of information. Tell me about you. Tell me about your organization. What's great about your organization? What's holding you guys back? All of those things. And you can spend enough time with somebody I never try to size anybody up to say, you know, have this first impression whether or not they're going to fit my organization or not. Could they be a client? It always comes in time. Because oftentimes, you just know that they're not going to be. But inevitably, there's always somebody else that I can introduce them to. You know who you should meet? You should meet so-and-so. Or if you're telling me about the issues your organization is having, then I might have a solution. Or I might know somebody that has a solution, and that's what I like to do. I think organizations are like, you know, they're nearly all have a certain level of dysfunction to them. If there's a lot of dysfunction, ultimately that's going to catch up to you, I really do believe. And that you're going to have some unhappy employees, or people are going to end up leaving, or something is going to happen to throw a cog into that wheel. Is cog the right word?
Sure. A wrench into the works.
Yeah, stick through the spokes, whatever
exactly,
it is.
Yeah.
So you begin to, just by conversation, you begin to learn about organizations and how you might be able to play a role in getting them on the right track. And really, what I've noticed thus far in the year that I've been here is when I start to tell people about REL and what we do and how we do it, it strikes a chord with people. We have a different way of doing business. When I tell people what we do and how we do it, they really begin to pay attention. And it's kind of like that, there's almost like a sense of, oh my God, that's what we need. And there's not many organizations who don't. Some are in more pain than others. But we really, I believe we can help alleviate a lot of that pain. So the conversation, that's how the conversation always starts. It's primarily, I want to know about that person, about their role, and about their organization. And if I have an opportunity, if they ask to tell them about us, then I'll do so. And that usually happens at some point. But really, it's about relationship building. And it's about listening and offering suggestions. And the best sales book I've ever read, and I've only read like two good sales books ever.
Okay.
And I'm a reader. But the best sales book I've ever read is by a guy named Mohan Khalsa. He runs the sales and business development practice area for Franklin Covey. He wrote a book called Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play. Part of his theory is start anywhere, go anywhere. It's about sitting down and just letting the conversation happen. You go in with these preconceived notions, and you're going to walk out disappointed. If you walk in with this, and your goal is to, you know, get this sale or close this deal, sales in general, it's a very dysfunctional occupation, you know?
Well, and it's very funneled for how it tries to channel things.
Completely. It's a silly, silly thing. And that's why I love being at REL so much. They buy into Mahan's theory of start anywhere, go anywhere. You don't force anything. You let the conversations happen. The opportunity will present itself somewhere along the way. But for me, and primarily my role is to be building that relationship, to be networking and getting to know more people. And what's happening is eventually somebody will say, people are always talking about their businesses and talking about their problems. Have you talked to Corey Garrison over at REL? And I get a phone call. Or I meet somebody, I've been meaning to call you. Or I'm introduced to somebody and I get the opportunity to tell them what we do. But I'm never trying to force anybody into coming in and taking part in the brand discernment process. You know, it's like somebody who has a drinking problem.
Right.
I'm fine. I can handle it on my own.
I don't need any help.
And you think about the entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Okay, I built it myself. Bootstrap mentality.
Right.
I don't need any help. We can fix it on our own.
Right.
I know a lot of those people.
So when you guys diagnose, or maybe that's a poor word, but when you guys determine what the problems are, when you've discerned the different things that need to be done, then you've got quite a bank of talent here. You know, the graphic designers,
right.
The video production, the other things. Do you have, like, organizational psychologists here, too? Because actually, what's interesting to me is that from the outside, when I came in, we started out as a video place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, here's our graphic designers and our web guys and everything else. And yet, I find that most of the stuff that we've talked about so far really gets into the realm of, like you said, therapy and organizational psychology and trying to fix the dysfunction within an organization. How does that translate into video?
Yeah.
But how does that also, you know, what do you do in-house to help steer those things? And are the companies you work with really prepared for that part of what you do?
Sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. I mean, again, you know, keep in mind that the idea here is to help organizations tell their story.
Okay.
And that's really what all of that is designed around. You know, great design, great websites, video production.
Right.
These are the things that are going to help you tell your story, building a great blog, whatever it may be. But before you can tell that story, you've got to kind of clear out all the minutiae. You know, you got to use the mental floss and just kind of clear everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding who you are, again, remember when we were talking a little while ago about if you know and understand your brand, you can begin to make better decisions.
Yes.
You can make more purposeful decisions that make sense for the organization.
Right.
That's all sort of in building that storytelling. You know, you start with understanding what your brand is and understanding who you are. And once you sort of talk through all of this stuff, then people can kind of, you really start to see people nodding their heads.
Hmm.
Yes, that's right. That's true. It's sort of like reigniting or helping people remember, you know, hey, why did we start this in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And why are we doing this when it's not even in our skill set? And why are we ignoring this when that is our core? And it's just helping, that's the therapy part of it, helping them bring all of that to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you asked earlier that I never addressed is you asked me if we, do we talk to other people? You know, you might have 3 or 4 people in this room.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find out the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And that's part.
Because my opinion of myself is never correct.
It's exactly it. Or at least it's going to be. I mean, that's one person's opinion, but you have all these other people looking at you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do in our brand discernment process. We have a spot in there that we call the reality check, and that reality checking it can look different depending on the situation, but oftentimes it's doing a survey, an employee survey, We've gone and sat down and interviewed employees of our clients before and just asked them questions and gotten some really, really interesting responses.
I suppose.
And oftentimes it's very accurate, and sometimes it's not so accurate. You know, you can tell some of the employees. We did this with one of our clients, and we took them through the brand discernment process about a year ago. When we went through and we did the reality check and we interviewed some of their employees, there was one employee in particular that had a different story than everybody else did. In other words, the owners, the employees, everybody was really seemed to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. But they really didn't know how to communicate who they were. And they were taking on a lot of business opportunistically also, because they really didn't know how to get out and tell their story in a meaningful way. We helped them do that, but there was one individual that was really telling a different story than everybody else. And you knew that that person was not going to be around very long. You just knew it. They really didn't buy in to who the organization was.
Sure.
They weren't a fit, and you knew it. And the guy's not there anymore. I'm not going to predict it. I saw it back then. He's a short timer, and you just knew it. But yeah, we've done surveys with customers, employees, and you really get a lot of good feedback from that. So that's the reality check, and it's very, very helpful.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So how would you define listening?
That's a tough question. You have to remove the selfishness. When you sit down with somebody, it can't be, what are you going to do for me? I try to look at it from the opposite way, is what is it that I can do to help this person? It's not always about, can this guy's company be a client of mine? You know, we may get there sometime. But what I love to do, and this I guess is from all my years in executive recruiting, was helping people make connections. That's really what I love to do, is to help people make connections that's going to somehow help them move forward. And you can't do that unless you really pay attention. And it's not just about, this is cliche, right? But hearing and listening, it goes beyond just. You sort of have to read between the lines when people are talking and telling you something, because it's about being, like I said, selfless and engaging and figuring out what it is you can do to help move somebody forward. When I think of listening, especially in a business environment, that's what I think about. And sometimes it's just being a sounding board. I've learned that the hard way in marriage, mostly. People don't always want an answer.
Right. Sometimes it's just talking stuff out. And people always move better and more passionately on something if they come up with it themselves, or if they realize it for themselves. Even if you give them the beginning of it, for them to make it their own and then move forward with it, as opposed to just advice, advice, advice.
Well, that's exactly right. And if you're asking questions along the way that are meaningful and that make sense to help somebody, you know, kind of get to that point. And sometimes, you know, you can see that on their face when they come to that realization about, well, I know exactly what the answer is. You don't have to give them advice. But then you can ultimately help somebody. And again, I'm thinking back to a business environment, which is to help you with your issue or your problem or your frustration. Maybe I got you closer. And I think ultimately if you're doing that, if you're engaging and you're actively listening and participating in that conversation, I mean, ultimately in some way it's going to come back to me.
If I could encapsulate the whole thing, it's not always important to be the sole solution at the end of the day. Instead, more being a conduit toward the solution. Mm-hmm. Because then people then will value what you do and what you have to offer, not because you gave them the answer, but because you helped them get to the answer, whatever journey that led them on. What I'm hearing you say, whether I can give you the whole solution or just help you along the way, if I'm selflessly hearing what you're saying in a way that I can help you, then you're going to have the desire to come back to me again and again, because I am a solution provider.
Yeah.
And a conduit toward solutions.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
I just paraphrased that. Perfect. So I was going to ask you then, who would be a really good person for me to talk to who might have an interesting perspective on listening?
That's Mike Wagner.
Okay.
I don't know if he's been referred to you yet or not. Mike in my opinion, is one of the most amazing people that I've met since I moved to Des Moines. The other guy, and I'll get you his number, he's a guy that I've never spoken to directly, okay, but we've had conversations via our blogs,
uh-huh,
and his name is Steve Harper. He is in Austin, Texas. He's written a book, and his blog and his business are all, it's called The Ripple Effect, and it is all about making a rippling effect on the environment and the community and the people around you. It's about networking. It's about listening. It's about creating, and he really comes off to me as a brilliant guy.
Thanks, Corey.
Hey, thank you very much.